Lou Manfredini here. Do you have cracked or sunken concrete areas around your home? Call PermaSeal for a free estimate. Don't replace it, raise it. Call 800-421-7325 or visit permaseal.net.
John Hanson in for John Landecker tonight. Bill Snyder is just off of The Forecasters, which of course airs on WGN Plus at 7 p.m. Bill, how'd the show go tonight?
It was great, John. Yeah.
What'd you talk about?
Oh, we talked about everything. We talked about weather. We had some very interesting stories, talked about our weather and how cool it is. And we talked about some other stories. We had a couple of videos from the morning show this morning that was highlighting. It was from the courtesy desk of a bologna cake sandwich that Robin Baumgarten made. And, it's interesting. Paul was dishing it out, but I don't think he did not partake in any of it. So it's kind of interesting. You know, that was a very telling that Paul wasn't interested.
He goes into everything. So.
Oh, he does. He does. Yeah. So, but there were a few people that were a few takers in that. So, it was interesting. But
I got to ask you, Bill. You and I chatted before the show launched, and we were just kind of chatting. And I said, you're going to have no problem filling 30 minutes. Okay, you've done it for a little while.
Yeah,
you could still probably talk more, couldn't you?
Sure. Well, you know what, John? A lot of it is, the weather dictates being able to talk about something. And, here we're talking about our cool weather that we have right now. But, there are other situations that weather situations that will certainly warrant more discussions. And, it's cool, but it's a quiet pattern right now. So
why the bologna comes on out.
That's why the bologna comes out. Yeah. And, another interesting story, which was kind of, more of a gardening type story, John. But we noted today during the show that they have set a world record for the tallest sunflower, and it was not too far away in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Whoa,
how about that?
How tall?
35 feet, 9 inches.
Are you kidding me?
No. And what's amazing about that is that the previous record, which was set by a grower in Germany 11 years ago, was nearly 5 feet shorter. So how about that? I mean, if you're hearing a story about a world record for the tallest sunflower, I would expect that to be somewhere down in Florida or along the Gulf Coast in an area that's warmer and more humid environment for these flowers to grow on.
Yeah. It got me a little worried, though, Bill, because 5 feet beating the record. Record feels a little bit like Barry Bonds hitting 73 home runs.
What
I mean, like,
sure,
those guys that jumped Roger Maris, like with Maguire and Sosa, 70, 66, seems a little much. I don't know what they're giving these sunflowers.
I don't know what they're giving it, but hey, whatever it is, it certainly worked. And for now you could probably put an asterisk next to it, but it set a world record.
And just so people remember, sunflowers are annuals, so that thing was nothing at the beginning of the spring. Well, that's awesome.
I know, isn't that cool? Yeah,
that
very cool. But this is the time of the year where you would expect them to peak. We have some interesting locations in our area to go view sunflowers. I've been down to the sunflower garden, and it's not too far from down in Ottawa.
Mm-hmm.
Near the what's the name of it? I'm drawing a blank on it.
That's
John.
Okay. But agritourism is in, and a lot of farmers take parts of their land and dedicate it to sunflowers because that's a very popular Instagram pic these days.
It really is, and when you see them, in a row lined up with one another, that is really cool.
Yeah,
it's a really cool shot.
It is.
Yeah,
Bill, I didn't bring you here to talk about sunflowers.
I know,
so you could do it forever. You're on this program often, always at this time.
Yep.
Actually, you're joining us a little bit early today, which I appreciate.
Of course, yeah.
Because I wanted to break it down.
Yeah.
The summer that was, meteorological summer, is
over.
We are in meteorological fall. Of course, we've got to wait for this equinox to officially do it. But if you could sum up the summer, it was a little Jekyll and Hyde, kind of, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. What's interesting about that, John, is we closed on a cool note. Interestingly, the final 8 days of August, which is pretty rare because you consider that time frame, the normal high is in the low to mid 80s. The final 8 days of August did not produce a single 80 degree temperature. And that has not happened, John, since 1982. But even that being said, it was a very warm summer. June was warmer than normal. July was warmer than normal. And August finished, it started out hot. We had several 90-degree days in the first half of the month. But then it trended cooler towards the end of the month. And so despite August finishing below normal, the summer as a whole, when you take the 3 months and you put them together, averaged out at 75.0 degrees, which was 1.7 degrees above normal. And it's still ranked as the 14th warmest on record since records began in 1871.
Wow.
And so interestingly, yeah, but you know, if you looked at that ranking prior to our cool weather that took over the, you know, the latter part of the month, mm-hmm. the ranking was in the top six warmest. So we did drop off, you know, with the onset of the cool weather, but that's still, you know, respectable, 14th warmest. And, it's the warmest since 2001. So
that's like,
know,
a baseball team that loses six of their last seven games, but still makes the playoffs.
They still make the playoffs. Exactly. I like the analogy, John. That's really great. Yeah.
I appreciate
and, you
that.
Know, we've had, we still, you know, to date, and I'm not saying we've seen our last one because we can still get hot, despite with not with this cool weather withstanding, but 27 days of 90 degrees or higher at O'Hare, 28 days at Midway.
That seems like a lot.
It is. It's above normal. We normally get about 17 for the year at O'Hare and 21 at Midway, a little bit more at Midway just due to the urban heat island effect. But yeah, so, you know, even if we don't see another 90 degree day the rest of the year, it will go down in the books as an above normal, you know, season in terms of hot days around here. So yeah.
75 degrees was the average temperature.
Yep.
And that doesn't mean average high. You're talking about at any point in time in the day.
Yes. That is the average temperature. When you take all the daytime highs and you take all the nighttime lows and you put them all together. And, you know, as you recall, we had quite a stretch of days where we had some warm overnight lows in July, because July was exceptionally humid for, you know, for various reasons. You know, we had, you know, corn crop emitting moisture into the air, but we had a persistent flow coming in out of the Gulf of Mexico. There was a Bermuda high that's typically farther east into the Atlantic that was closer to the East Coast. So that was responsible for giving us a persistent, you know, moist flow out of the Gulf, and that kept our dew points higher. And when you have a warm, humid air mass, John, it you don't cool off at night. So we had a lot of days where the nighttime lows didn't get you know, didn't drop below 70 degrees, and that certainly keeps your average temperature higher.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
When I think of the summer of 2025,
yeah.
I think I will remember it was the first summer that I've lived in my house out in Downers Grove, which has
right.
not been that long. But where we got some really torrential rain.
We did.
And it's probably, I imagine, partly due to what you just talked about.
Yeah.
That high humidity. Not
sure.
Everyone got it. Not
no.
everyone did. But boy, if you were getting the rain, you
oh,
got the
goodness.
Rain.
Yeah. And, you know, typical summer fashion, you know, this is why forecasting summer thunderstorms are so difficult, John, because, you know, one, as you said, one area gets hit hard. Another area that's not too far away gets very little. I mean, for example, I have a friend that's about 9 miles from me, and he's in Mount Prospect, and he was complaining to me, boy, we need the rain. We need the rain. We keep missing out, or he'll, you know, he has a rain gauge in his yard and he measures the rainfall. And I say, hey, how much did you get? And you know what? It's far less than even what they saw at O'Hare, or, you know, not too far away in Bensonville or Wooddale. So it's interesting to see how rainfall distributes itself this time of the year, John. And again, you know, many areas were far different than if you draw a line basically across the Chicago area, you know, from say the city and points south seem to be the areas that were favored for more rainfall this summer. And as you went farther north, the rainfall was much less. You know, Lake Park's portions of Lake County and then even northern Cook County had considerably less rainfall. But if you look at the numbers at O'Hare for the June, July, and August period, we had 12.95 inches, which is about an inch above normal, which is interesting. So,
mm-hmm.
But again, you know, Mother Nature just does not distribute her rainfall evenly during summertime thunderstorms.
Right. And if you have a particularly dry period, but the summer ends, I think it was
yeah.
mainly late August when
yeah.
a lot of that rain came,
yep.
then you seem to remember it as a rainy season, even though
yeah, yeah.
you spread
our perception it over time. Is all, you know, it's always, you know, the old adage of what have you done for me lately? And you're right, John. And you remember things that happened more, you know, more recently than what may have been the character of the entire season. So it's interesting. Yeah.
Some strong thunderstorms peppered throughout the summer.
Right.
For about tornadic activity. Obviously, I know we get a lot in the spring, and still tornadic activity.
Yeah.
Very likely to happen as we continue. Could go through the whole year.
Sure. Yes.
But in terms of storm capabilities this summer, what stands out to you?
We didn't have. We had some damaging thunderstorms. We had some storms that produced hail. Damaging winds at times we saw. Thankfully, John, the tornado count seemed to be a little bit lower than it has been the case in some years. So that's good news. Mm-hmm. We did have some activity in the spring, some busier activity in the spring, and statewide, I think we're still running, above normal. But, again, conditions can vary widely across the state, especially when we're talking about, tornadoes, depending on where, we sit. Juxtaposition where a frontal boundary may lay out, the activity is more widespread downstate than it might be, say, up here in this area. So, but again, as you mentioned, tornado season's not over, and it can happen at any time of the year given the right weather conditions. So, I think as we move into fall, we have what we call a second severe weather season. And, I don't think we've seen the last tornadoes for the year in this area, and we've seen the last tornadoes certainly statewide. We had a horrible tornado outbreak, as you recall. I think it was about 11 years ago, the Washington tornado that devastated that community down near Peoria.
In November.
And that was in November, yeah. And so it just goes to show you it can happen at any time of the year. And that activity moved into the southern portions of our area. They had to evacuate Soldier Field that day. The Bears were playing. That afternoon, and there were some really, really bad damage across southern portions of our viewing area. So, it's still a long way to go for that, but nothing close to that, at least on our current radar, John. It's just we're talking about October temperatures in September right now,
and we'll talk about that and continue to get a look at the forecast to put a fine point and a finishing note on 2025. The summer, there were points where it was hot and humid for so long, as you talked about. That you couldn't go anywhere on social media without people saying, this is the new reality. This is what it is. Climate change is here. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
And then there's times where it was so cool. People, I appreciate that. I believe climate change to be a real thing. I assume you do as well. And our friend Tom Skilling does it. But weather is not necessarily always indicative of climate change. There's two different things we're talking about.
Oh, absolutely, John. Yeah, I mean, when we're talking about climate, we're talking about a situation or development that occurs over many years at a time, months and years, where weather is one specific event that we're looking at or maybe one month or one week or one season. So you know what? You look for similarities over an extended period of time to see, hey, is this a trend or is this just something that's happened recently? And so it's interesting. It's an interesting atmosphere to follow. There's no question about it.
I guess what I'm asking ultimately is this summer, while it had its quirks and its interesting aspects, a little warmer, a little wetter, but nothing all that extraordinarily out of the normal range.
No, absolutely not. And while we had a overwhelmingly increase in 90 degree days when you compare it to what's normal around here. None of those 90 degree days, John, were record breakers. It's not like we were talking about temperatures that were in the upper 90s or triple digits. We were not breaking any records for daytime heat at any point of those 27 90 degree days. Many of them were low 90s, and I believe the hottest temperature officially at both airports was 95 degrees at O'Hare, 96 degrees at Midway. So we've had many years that saw temperatures hotter than that. As a matter of fact, last year in late August, we had a temperature of 99 degrees one day. The year before that, we had a 100 degree temperature in late August. So it's interesting, the last 2 years saw warmer temperatures than we saw at any point this year. So again, I think the bigger story this summer and some of our hot spells was the exceptionally high humidity and the warm nighttime lows. And the warm nighttime lows, when you couple that up with, with low to mid 90 degree temperatures during the day, it does not allow folks without air conditioning to properly cool off at night. You just can't cool down when the temperatures don't drop.
It was reminiscent of what we talked about a few times in the summer, the 30 year anniversary of the horrific 1995. Now, air conditioning distribution has improved.
It has.
Since then, our knowledge and forecasting and the city, really, the cooling centers, which,
right,
of course, came out of that 1995 disaster.
Yep.
But it was a little eerie as we were comparing to 30 years ago in,
right,
early July. That's when we started getting that hot, humid overnight stuff.
Yes.
And thankfully, we saw nothing like then, as we've learned a lot more.
We have. And you're right, John. I mean, the level of heat during that heat wave, coupled up with oppressive Amazon River Valley type humidity, was off the charts. I mean, you don't normally see that those type of temperatures and that level of humidity at the same time. And that's what was just remarkable of that heat wave. You know, we had a temperature at Midway, a peak temperature during that heat wave in 1995 of 106 degrees. And that was coupled, John, with an 81 degree dew point. That translated to a heat index of 125 degrees. I mean, that is unlike anything we've ever seen around here. Normally, when we get 100 degree temperatures, because drier air heats up more efficiently, it's more difficult to heat humid air. And we did that in that heat wave in 1995. And I know, you know, Tom Skilling talked about that many times. I mean, he's shared stories about, you know, leaving, you know, the northwest side here of our office during that heat wave. And he said it was like a third world country because the electricity grid was overwhelmed. They could not handle the demand for electricity during that heat wave. And, you know, again, it has completely changed how we handle heat, not just here, but all across the country, that heat wave.
Yeah, you know what's interesting is that when we were at the actual 30-year anniversary in early July,
yeah,
I was on air a bunch, as well, I often am, and I looked back at the newspapers from that day and those days. And what,
yeah,
was sad is the first couple of days, like when the actual heat was here,
yeah,
a lot of the coverage was whimsical, right? Oh, my goodness.
Yes. Yes.
Ice cream could melt on the street.
Right.
You know? And it was the photos on the front page were people, you know, in water fountains and,
right,
stuff like that.
Right.
And then when the reality of what was,
oh,
happening, when relatives who hadn't been checked on,
right,
were checked on,
yep,
the week after, when the temperatures had cooled,
right,
is when the reality set in. I'm getting goosebumps,
yeah,
just having,
I know,
talking about just, it's,
sure,
one of the, you know, a tornado, boom, you know it, you cover,
right,
it, you see the damage.
Yeah.
Something like a heat, and we have more conversations about it now because we are a warming,
yeah,
planet.
Right.
These stories take sometimes weeks to play out.
Oh, they do. They do. And I mean, you know, John, it's interesting. I mean, we have a lot of weather related, you know, natural disasters in this country and here in Chicago, from blizzards to cold spells to ice storms. And that heat wave is the single largest natural disaster to this day that this city has ever seen. And that's because of heat. And,
yeah,
it's interesting that, you know, looking at all of the hazards, the weather hazards across the board, and year in and year out across the country, it's heat that kills more people than anything else. And that's interesting.
Okay, let's look forward to not the heat. Boy, we are, like you said,
anything but heat in this forecast.
We
right
love
now.
It.
Wow.
So let's start with this weekend. Great stuff. But as, yeah, I peek ahead, though, Bill,
yeah,
we are not done with heat, are we?
No. And you know what's interesting, John, is it's, so we had a high temperature today of 66 degrees. That is our coolest day since the 31st of May. We had a low this morning of 48. Listen to some of these lows across the suburbs this morning, John. Rochelle, which is out pretty far west of here, it's actually considered northwest Illinois, but 39 degrees. Aurora was down to 41.
Oh.
DeKalb, 42. West Chicago, 44. That is remarkably cool for this time of the year, given the fact that low 60s is the normal low for this time of the year. So, wow, interesting. And you know what else, John? This is our coolest high temperature for this early in the season in 21 years.
Hmm.
It's the coolest September 4th we've had in Chicago in 31 years. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's interesting.
It's unusual.
You know, look at the numbers. It is unusual, but yes, you're right. What's interesting about that is I was looking, you know, I mentioned 31 years ago is the last time that we had a September 4th this cool, and that was also part of a cool spell like what we're about to get in right now. This is the first of four consecutive days where the high temperature will fail to reach 70 degrees, which is pretty remarkable given the normal high is about 80 this time of the year. That year, John, 1994, in the middle of September, following that unusual spell of cool weather, had back-to-back 90-degree days. So, you know what? It can still get warm this time of the year, so that's why I'm telling everyone, Don't put the shorts away. Don't put the flip-flops away. We are not done with warm weather yet, even though, you know, jackets and light sweaters will be the, you know, wardrobe attire with what we have coming this weekend.
All right. Well, but, I welcome the cooler weather, but
it's good sleeping weather, right?
It's great sleeping
weather. Yeah, and it kind of coincides with football, doesn't it? I mean, we've got opening NFL this weekend.
Dallas and Philly on the tonight. TV right now.
Right. And
football
we got
weather's here,
we
baby.
Got the home opener and Monday Night Football at Soldier Field coming Monday night, and the weather looks great, John, for that. Oh. So we're looking at, you know, mainly clear skies, a very light east southeast wind, about 6 miles per hour, and temperature at Soldier Field for kickoff should be in the mid to upper 60s. So that's pretty good football weather.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
Bill, that's great. You're the best. Thanks for giving us a little extra time to wrap up the summer.
Always a pleasure to talk to you.
Good luck with everything. We will chat soon, my friend.
We sure will. You have a great one, my friend. Take
you
care.
You too. Bill Snyder's the best, everyone. Channel 9, longtime meteorologist, producer, and now part of the Forecasters, which you can catch on WGN+.